The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Okay. So welcome again to Happy Hour. And tonight I want to talk about one of the four immeasurable heart qualities called Brahmaviharas sometimes. And I'm not sure how recently you've heard about this one. It is mudita. Mudita, together with metta, karuna, and upekkha, or loving kindness, compassion, and equanimity, is one of the four core heart practices, expressions of Buddhist love in the early Buddhist tradition and the not so early Buddhist tradition. The term in Pali is often translated, perhaps even most commonly translated, as sympathetic joy or empathetic joy. But there are other translations, and I just want to list some of them and maybe feel into your heart and feel what they feel like, because they'll have different resonances. Unselfish joy. Altruistic joy. Appreciative joy. So it just gives you a flavor, right? The path of purification, one of the main commentaries in the Buddha's discourses, has a little phrase used to translate mudita, which is the joy or gladdening of the heart and mind that is produced by others' good fortune. The gladdening produced by others' good fortune. And while I'm on the kind of wonky Pali kick, mudita is past participle of the verb modati, which means to rejoice, to enjoy yourself, to be satisfied. So, real life example. I just got back from the wedding of two very good friends, dear friends, and there was just this celebratory joy in the air, right? You could feel it. There were about 90 people there, and it was just palpable. And that joy was in my heart, right? It was easy to feel joy for their joy, to feel appreciation for their good fortune. Perhaps you can think of an event recently, or an instance of someone dear to you. Something good happened, it just makes you feel good. My first discovery of mudita was actually kind of by accident. It was before I had been really educated in all four of the immeasurables. I'd had sort of a glancing introduction. But I went to Burma for a two-month intensive metta retreat. And was following very classic instructions, very simple instructions for that. And one of the preparatory practices for loving kindness is actually to consider the virtues, the good qualities of whoever you're directing the loving kindness to. And I would get so into this with my objects of metta that I would be considering their good qualities and the good things they'd done. And I'd have this kind of you go attitude in my mind. And it got very bubbly and very happy. And it was a great launching point for loving kindness practice. I didn't realize until years later that it was actually shading into mudita. It shades in. Edward Conze, the scholar, talks about this, as does the very famous translator monk, Jnanapanika. He was Bhikkhu Bodhi, the translator of much of the Pali Canon. Jnanapanika was his mentor, and they translated the middle-length discourses together. So this celebratory, kind of bubbly happiness. So classically, mudita is considered to be an antidote for envy and jealousy. This is also from the commentaries. And it's far enemies, what the opposites during the practice itself are actually considered to be aversion and boredom. Though some people do have envy come up too, of course. The near enemy, the thing that can disguise itself as metta, or I'm sorry, mudita, but isn't quite mudita, is a smugness or a preoccupation with one's own worldly gain. So kind of a self-satisfied, like I did it myself, or, you know, but this preoccupation with one's own good fortune in a way that is not just about gratitude, but about something a little bit more self-congratulatory and smug. And that said, feeling pleased, feeling grateful for the blessings each of us have in our lives, appreciative of what's been received and how it's been received and the other contributors to it, appreciative of our own virtues or good qualities, all of those are very wholesome and very onward leading. And could even be considered, and this is my gloss on it, a form of mudita for self, a form of appreciative joy for ourselves. So you can see the difference, right? So mudita for self, again, overlaps with that preparatory practice for metta, for loving kindness, just like I talked about on that long retreat. So, while appreciative joy isn't always accessible, it's well worth cultivating. It has this ease, this happiness, this joyfulness, this bubbliness as a part of it when it's fully in bloom. And even when it's not, it's a way of conditioning the heart and the mind to be more receptive to gladness, happiness, joy, contentment in our lives. In part because, as to paraphrase the Dalai Lama, being happy for others increases your odds of happiness by millions to one, right? So it's a movement of the mind. It can be really helpful. So all that said, are you ready to do some practice? Awesome. I see some thumbs up. So what I'm going to do right now is take off the ability to unmute yourselves. And this is just so that if people join us on phones or other devices mid-meditation, they don't accidentally create a bunch of static. If you need to chat me about volume, chat me. I open my eyes occasionally. And my voice will get a little bit softer than this, but it should be loud enough. So please find a comfortable posture, balance of ease, relaxation, and alertness. And in any of these heart quality meditations, it's really nice to emphasize the ease part a little bit more. So find a way that your back is comfortable. Your body's comfortable, your heart and mind are comfortable. If it helps to turn away from the screen, please feel free. And softening the eyes, closing them, that's comfortable for you. And finding a place of stillness. Taking a moment to take stock of this body, this heart, this mind, just exactly as they are. Sensations, sounds in the room, perhaps, the general tone, attitude, mood of your heart and mind right now. Just allowing that. Noticing what's obvious. And I'm going to give instructions for settling the heart and mind by using the breath. If you have another anchor of attention that works better for you, please feel free to tune me out and use that. And scanning through the body. Noticing any tension or relaxation in the forehead and scalp. And softening. Noticing the cheeks, the jaw, lips and tongue. And softening around any tension there. Perhaps allowing an out-breath through pursed lips as a way of inviting the lips, the jaw, the throat to relax. Suffusing awareness through the occiput, the back of the skull where it meets the neck, allowing those muscles there to soften. Perhaps even allowing the neck, shoulders, upper spine to soften as well. If it's helpful, you can shrug your shoulders up towards your ears and allow them to drop down and relax. Noticing any movement, warmth, relaxation in the chest, the side ribs, the mid-back, and the belly. As your life's breath moves in and out. And if it feels comfortable, allowing one or two slightly deeper or longer or slower breaths. Releasing excess tension in the exhale. Allowing the attention to rest on the body breathing, while still also acknowledging the hip. The buttocks and legs, thighs, calves, ankles, feet, and grounding yourself in this moment, here. Allowing the whole body to be known all at once. And settling in on the sensations of aliveness. Of the breath in the body. If other thoughts, emotions, or anything else come in and move this heart and mind away from the moment, See how graciously kindly they can be acknowledged. Yes, this too, happening now. And perhaps disengaging or allowing them to fade. And allowing the breathing in the body to be the center of attention, the forefront. And now attuning to the breathing, bringing the bulk of your attention to your heart center. It can be the area around your physical heart, or all the sensations of breathing in the center of your chest and solar plexus. And allowing a sense of appreciation for your life's breath. As it presents in the heart. Noticing the sensations there. Maybe even imagining breathing in and out directly from the heart center, if that works for you. And if not, just noticing the sensations there. And while maintaining a sense of contact, this breathing, calling to mind a person or a being who's simple, easy to appreciate, easy to feel joy for. It can be a visualization of an image of them. Maybe a felt sense of them as if they're in the room with you. Or even just the idea, concept of this other one. And imagining or recalling a sense of their goodness, their virtues, and any good fortune or happiness they may have in their lives. Can be an event, can be an ongoing situation, or can be something intrinsic to who they are and how they show up. breathing out a sense of this appreciation. Offering as if with a gesture. Breathing in, maybe just noticing exactly whatever sensations or feelings are in this heart, this body, this mind, related to this other one. Some people imagine a soft light emanating from them towards this other one, or a fog-like mist. Or just the offering itself. With each out-breath offering, with each in-breath, appreciating these good intentions. If this feels resonant for you, please feel free to continue wordlessly offering appreciative joy, appreciation. Unselfish gladness to this other person or being. And if it's helpful, it's also possible to use words or phrases to hone your intention. I'll offer a few. Please feel free to use them or shorten them to build concentration. Or to use words entirely of your own, in your own language. May your joy and good fortune increase. May your success continue. I appreciate you and your goodness. I'm happy you're happy. Repeating one or more of these phrases, if it feels right, or phrases of your own, while imagining this other one, receiving them. Resonating with them. Perhaps a change in the energy in the room, or the expression in their face or in their eyes. May your joy increase. May your good fortune continue. I appreciate you and your goodness. I'm happy you're happy. From time to time, checking in how it feels to be offering appreciative joy, empathy, appreciation, feeling that feeling of generosity in your heart, and whatever else might be there. Allowing everything. And now, tuning into that other one for a moment and imagining them offering this same appreciation to you. If it's easier, you can simply wordlessly exchange appreciation. Joy, happiness, or whatever kind of offering of good wishes are appropriate for you to receive from them. It can also be helpful to imagine saying or wishing these things together. For you together, something like this. May our joy and good fortune increase. May our good qualities increase and become abundant. We're happy to be happy. Allowing these wishes, intentions to radiate through your whole body like that soft light, the moisture of a beautiful foggy morning, or like the light of a star touching every cell, every organ, every part of the body, heart, and mind. Joyful. Appreciative. Happy. Drinking in these good wishes from this other one and offering in a cycle. Now allowing this appreciative joy, unselfish joy, to radiate out, perhaps from the two of you or just from this heart, this mind, this body. Wishing anyone in its path, may your joy and virtue and goodness increase. Allowing those wishes to land wherever it feels right. Radiating outwards like a star. Or perhaps just suffusing outwards gently. Like fog on the morning breeze. Mist over the mountains. As far or as near as feels right to you. May your goodness and virtue increase. May happiness and joy in the world increase. In the last couple of moments or so of this meditation, letting go of particular broadcasting of mudita, good feeling, letting go of any images, and turning the lens of attention back to this body, this heart, this mind. Appreciating the generosity of heart. Appreciating the intentions for generating unselfish joy. And settling into the moment, just allowing whatever's flowing through be accepted, acknowledged. Allowed to flow through, unimpeded. Breathing with it. Sincerity of your practice. So before we transition the more vocal part of the evening, I'd like to invite you to do something that's kind of become a little bit of a custom the nights I teach here, which is to take a moment and whether seen or unseen, whether here or past participants or future listeners, to send kindness, appreciation to the other people that are part of this global heart qualities sangha. If you want, you can scroll through and look at their tiles. If you want to turn on your video, you can, but you don't have to. sending this appreciation, this metta to others. And knowing that as you're doing it, you're receiving it from every other person on this call. I'm going to scroll through as well. Each of you are in my metta, my practice, my heart. And so I've now changed the security settings to where you can unmute yourself. And since we've got a healthy number of folks tonight, just want to invite whoever has a reflection, a comment, a question about the meditation or what I said before the meditation to please use your Zoom hand and offer that. You can also put it in the chat if you're a little bit shy to talk in the group or don't want to be on the recording. I will share chats anonymously during this time. So, any thoughts, comments, friends? Questions are also fine. Yes, Greg, please.
Yeah, this is a question. So I guess both the extension of whatever loving kindness to folks that you flows easily to, and of course it spans the whole range over to folks where it's difficult. So where it's difficult, I mean, I've been experimenting with this, but let's just say you're sort of dealing with sort of a wellspring of animosity toward somebody who's particularly provocative, or at least you consider them provocative. You're interpreting it that way. Any guidance or ideas on taming the fiery dragon inside?
That's a great image. Thank you. Yes, the fiery dragon inside towards the person we experience as difficult, provocative. So a couple of thoughts. First is just to name, and you may be well aware of this, Greg, but metta practice and its related Brahmaviharas, including the one that we did tonight, mudita, they're also purification practices. So it's kind of like using a magnet to pull up metal from sand, like metal filings from sand. It will draw up not just the beautiful qualities, but their opposites. And it is not uncommon for any of these practices for some people, even most people some of the time, to experience their opposites. That's why I talked tonight about the far enemy, because it's just part of it. It is in there from millennia ago that this will come up for some people, most people, at some point in their practice. So at that point, allowing mindfulness to come to bear and observing it and observing how unpleasant it is, right? For most of us, there might be a short burst, a positive hit of energy at the beginning of anger or resentment, but the longer it stays around, the worse it feels, right? The discourses talk about it being the equivalent of picking up a hot coal to throw at someone else. Well, who gets burned first, right? So that's the first notion. And then the second one is actually technique. And was inspired by Sharon Salzberg, but I think at this point I've adapted the language to where it's more my own. And she suggests when dealing with the difficult people or people we find difficult, that, and this includes people who are truly harmful. I often get sort of the Hitler question, if you will, to modify the phrases a little bit. For example, may you experience loving kindness and its benefits, such as wisdom and non-harming. Or one I used tonight when we went to radiating appreciative joy or altruistic joy out just generally, may your goodness and virtue increase. So those are causes of happiness. And they're also invitations to whoever is receiving them to become less harmful or provocative or difficult to be around. So those are some thoughts. Does that hit the mark or am I missing something?
No, I think you're in the right area. The idea of wishing them to become a little more aware about things is something I can probably manage.
Yeah.
So yeah, cool. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. Someone writes, during this sit, I was thinking about the mudita I feel towards dogs when I see them happily wagging their tail, and it brings me great joy and warmth to recall. I am right there with you. Dogs are teachers of mudita, I think. Like just their happy wagging bodies and their often friendly faces. And it's not an accident that many people find dogs a really helpful meditation object. So, we have come to the part of happy hour that many people find their favorite part, which is the invitation to gather into small breakout groups and talk about this practice. And before you run off and log off, just want to say it's optional. You can refrain from joining a group. I will rebalance them if some people don't join. And just hang out here and meditate until the breakout group ends, and then rejoin the rest of us for the very end. So, getting a sense here. A prompt, maybe just what is most easy to generate joy for others about? What situations are easiest for you? And what situations are easiest to feel joy for yourself? And if you don't like that prompt, feel free just to discuss how the practice was or related practices. So I will set these for 5 minutes. We have a countdown of 30 seconds after that. And I'll see you on the other side. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. Welcome back. So we have just a few minutes left. And just want to open the floor. If anyone has comments about how that was, I'd love to hear. Or maybe a theme that came up for you or that you heard that was meaningful to you. Anything? Yeah, Nancy, please.
It seemed really short tonight. I don't know. It just, but yeah, I think we were all appreciating a lot about just getting started in the day.
Getting started in the day?
What you start your day with and trying to start with something joyful and connecting with other people.
Lovely. Beautiful. Yeah. And it seemed short because it was 1 minute shorter than usual, perhaps. I neglected to shift the breakouts. So that was not your imagination.
It was a big minute.
It was a big minute that got this.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Any other thoughts, themes that might be helpful to share with the group? It benefits other people too.
I have a question. So you used, I think you used the phrase unselfish joy as a possible synonym or a similar definition for mudita.
Yes.
And that seems really different to me than sympathetic joy. I mean, that feels almost like piti, like just joy that would just be going out to the world and wouldn't really have a connection to another person's experience.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, maybe you can speak to that a little bit, what you see the difference between mudita and sort of just radiating joy.
Yeah, that's a great question, Larry. So the translation unselfish joy comes from Jnanapanika Thera, who is, like I said, was a mentor of Bhikkhu Bodhi, so a very esteemed translator. And I think the main difference there is that mudita has embedded in it the relationship. So with mudita, it's always about relationship, even if it's mudita for self, in quotes here, in air quotes. It's in the relational realm. And so there are shades, right? Like it's possible to experience piti or pamoja, other forms of joy during mudita practice. In fact, I'd say it's not uncommon, you know, on retreat, especially. But what narrows it down to mudita is that it's about beings as opposed to just, wow, right? Just radiating and just experiencing. Is that helpful at all? Yeah. Okay. Great. We have come to the top of the hour, friends. So I want to thank you for your practice. We'll just take a moment to dedicate the benefits of the practice. So may the time, the energy, the beautiful intentions of our practice here together, regardless of outcome, radiate out to benefit not just ourselves, but every life we touch and every life they touch, and so on and so on. Out in circles, ever widening through the world and all of the beings in it. May all beings be happy. May all beings be safe. May all beings be healthy as much as possible. And may all beings know the highest joy of awakening and liberation. Practice. You're welcome to unmute and say goodbye to each other if you like.
Thank you, Dawn. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Dawn. That was
thank
lovely.
You.
Everybody.
Thank you, Dawn. Beautiful. Very
thank
nice.
You, Dawn.
Hi, everybody.
Thank you, everyone.
Bye, bye. Thank you, Dawn.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, bye.
Yeah.
And I'd like to say that closing prayer you just offered was really excellent.
Oh, thank you so much, Greg. Yeah.
I don't know why, but it really just grabbed me. I've got to go look at the recording of this, but thank you for that. I've got to add that to my little list of quotes. So thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
Okay. Thank you so much. Bye.
Thank you. Goodbye.